Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sweet 16 edition of the Bacon Bets podcast. March Madness continues on. I do have to apologize that I didn't release an episode for the round of 32. I did tweet out my picks. I did not release an episode, at least for the first slate of games, like I said I would. Things got too busy, unfortunately, in the McMillan household. And then going to the games on Friday certainly threw a wrench in it. I know I did offer that I was going to potentially do a drunk episode on Friday night when I got home from the Barclays Center, but stayed all the way until the final game. So I was at Barclays Center basically from noon until midnight, outside of the hour you had to leave the stadium between the second and third game. And by the time I got home, to be honest, I was more tired than drunk. So it wouldn't have been an entertaining episode. I was not blackout drunk. I would have been tired. My brain was mush. Watching four games in person in a row it was fun. Top 10 day of my entire life, but it was, it's a lot. The band, the crowd, the squeaking of the shoes, the bright lights, it gets to you after 12 hours. So I did not record an episode. I did tweet out my picks. I hope the people who are looking for my picks just went to my Twitter and found them on there, because I did tweet all those out. But we are back. We are back for the Sweet 16. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see I'm wearing a Fordham Rams jersey. I don't know if you're familiar with the website DHgate, where you can get jerseys for like $20. I didn't think they existed anymore. It's how I got my jerseys back in college. Then I got an email from them late January, maybe first couple days of February. I had like a $5 off coupon from them. So I was like, screw it. I'll order another jersey from DHgate. So I ordered Fordham. I went with Fordham because Fordham, at least their grad school, is literally a couple blocks just north of where I live right now. So I feel like they're my local school. And the ACC tournament was in, or not the ACC, the A10 tournament was in Brooklyn this year that I thought I was going to go to. So I decided to buy a Fordham jersey, thinking I'd go and be able to wear it to the A10 tournament and cheer on the Rams, like I said, who I look at as my local school. But in classic DHgate fashion, it showed up, it's today, so it's March 26th. I think I ordered it like late January, so almost two full months for it to show up. But to be honest, not bad quality for a $20 jersey. I just got to order it like mid-December if I want it by March Madness next time around. So I'm wearing it now. Go Rams. If you're just listening to this, then you're not seeing it. But you should go to the Bacon Bets Podcast YouTube channel and subscribe and like this episode, just to be nice. So how we've done so far in March Madness, I do got my record up. We have won units in all three rounds so far. First four, I went 3-1 for plus 1.69 units. Round of 64, I went 17-14-1 for plus 2.03 units. And then round of 32, I went 9-6-1 for plus 2.35 units. And those metrics do not include the Barclays Center parlay that I tweeted out. I'm not counting that as an official play. That was something to do for fun since I was at the game. Did not think in a million years it would hit, and it hit. And I thought all four games they all hit pretty comfortably too. Northwestern did go into overtime, so I guess that one wasn't super comfortable, but that was electric, winning the Barclays Center parlay. That is not included in this record. So if you include that, I mean, I'm up way more. So my overall record in the NCAA tournament heading into the Sweet 16, I'm sitting at 29-21-2. for plus 6.07 units. So let's keep the party rolling. I'm going to go through and give out my best bet for all eight Sweet 16 games. At the end of the podcast, I'll also bring up the futures market and let you know what teams I'm eyeing on that I think are worth a bet at this point in the tournament. Last thing I do need to mention, I'm going to be doing a one and done pool on splash.com for the golf majors. That's going to be opening up this week, I think, now that we are, a week and, I guess 2 weeks out from the Masters. So if you see me tweet that out, please sign up for that. I think I'm going to do, probably $20 buy-in. I'm probably going to do, and that's going to be a one and done throughout the four majors. So keep an eye out for that. And I'll have all the rules and everything like that ready to go for that. So keep an eye out for that. That would mean a lot if you sign up for that when you see it coming your way this week. So I'm going to have my Sweet 16 picks. That ends Friday. So I'll just go live Saturday morning. I might just go live Saturday morning to give my picks out for the Elite Eight. And then just grab the audio of that and toss it up there. But these games end so late, I will not be recording my picks Friday night. Because I guess the Elite Eight probably doesn't start until Saturday night. So there is a bit of buffer room there. But I will, one way or another, record some kind of show or video or something to get you picks for the Elite Eight after the Sweet 16. But it is time for the Sweet 16 now. So that's what we're going to get into. Eight games, eight picks. Let's see if we can be profitable again this round. This is the Sweet 16 edition of the Bacon Bets podcast. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man. Pourquoi? Utility man.
All right, as always, I'm going in chronological order here. So the first game on the slate on Thursday night, it is a shame that there's no afternoon games. There should be at least one afternoon game throughout the Sweet 16, but unfortunately not the case. So starting at 7:09 p.m. Eastern is the first game. It is Clemson, Arizona. I will take Clemson plus 7.5 minus 110. I think this was actually my favorite bet of the first four Sweet 16 games. Of Thursday Sweet 16 games, I think this is my favorite bet. Now, I say that my best bets actually didn't do well in the opening round. I think I said TCU was my best bet against Utah State. That didn't come close. And I forget what my other one was. Akron, I don't even think, covered against Creighton, and I gave Akron money line. So take it for what it's worth. But if you do want my number one bet on Thursday, it is Clemson plus 7.5. I was shitting on the ACC heading into the tournament, but maybe I got to give the ACC some respect. They have four teams in the Sweet 16, Clemson, NC State, UNC, and Duke, and they've all looked impressive in their wins. To be fair, the Pac-12 has actually looked impressive as well, but maybe I wasn't giving the ACC enough credit. And when you compare the numbers between Clemson and Arizona, I actually wouldn't even be surprised if Clemson pulls off this upset, especially because I see a lot of people out there saying any team could win the national championship that's left except for Clemson. I don't know. I mean, they're not probably going to win the national championship, but I wouldn't be surprised if they pull off this upset. Arizona is a slightly better shooting team, 24th in EFG, effective field goal percentage. Clemson close behind, 47th. These two teams are also 52nd and 59th with a slight edge to Clemson, an opponent effective field goal percentage. And one of the things that Arizona does best, which actually has helped them win games by a lot of points, top five in average scoring margin, is they grab a ton of offensive rebounds. 17th in the country in offensive rebound, but Clemson is 33rd in defensive rebounding. Clemson also doesn't turn over the ball. So Clemson doesn't grab a lot of offensive rebounds. They don't force a lot of turnovers, but they also, in the same breath, don't give up offensive rebounds and don't give up turnovers, which is going to be key here. Arizona does, unfortunately, give up some turnovers outside the top 100th in turnovers per possession. Arizona's also a two-point shooting team. I've talked about this in the past, 77th in two-point shot rate, with 66.8% of their shots coming within two-point range. That's the strength of Clemson's defense. 44th in opponent two-point field goal percentage. That was a big reason why they were able to beat New Mexico in the opening round as well. So the inability to create extra scoring chances is probably what's going to hurt Clemson at some point in time. But their shooting numbers and overall defensive numbers are good enough for me to certainly take the 7.5 points with the Tigers here against Arizona. So I'll take Clemson plus 7.5 in the first game on Thursday. Second game, we have a rematch of last year's national championship. I will take UConn minus 11, minus 110 against San Diego State. Still hate the Mountain West. They, for the most part, look terrible all tournament. I know San Diego State went against that narrative last year. They're going against that narrative again this year. But they're no match for UConn. UConn is no match for San Diego State. San Diego State shot 14.3% higher in terms of their effective field goal percentage against Yale compared to their season average. That was an outlier game. I'm not ready to bet on them now just because they beat up on Yale. And the more I watch UConn and I watch them in person against Stetson, it was unbelievable. It looked like they were playing against a high school team. I think UConn might just run the table. I was hesitant to say that before the tournament because I just have a thing against picking defending champs. But they're fifth in effective field goal percentage. Fifth in effective field goal percentage, third in opponent effective field goal percentage, and 42nd in extra scoring chances. So they check all three boxes. They shoot really well. They have a great shooting defense. And they do things like grab offensive boards, force turnovers, don't turn over the ball themselves. Like they check every single box. Now, things are going to get a little bit more sketchy when they play against some elite teams. Like Iowa State could give them a run for their money in the Elite Eight. Houston could give them a run for the money if they see them in the championship. But San Diego State just doesn't have anything to be able to match up with UConn. 206th in effective field goal percentage. They don't have the shooting. They're not good enough anywhere else. I think UConn wins this one in a blowout. I will lay the 11 points with the Huskies. This line has actually moved against me since I bet it a couple hours ago. It's now down to 10.5, at least where I bet it, which was Caesars. Moving on, UNC against Alabama. I will lay the 4 points with UNC with the Tar Heels minus 4 against Alabama. Alabama's defense is going to cost them. They are bad defensively. 113th in opponent effective field goal percentage. 289th in opponent floor percentage. What floor percentage is, it's the percentage of a team's possessions that result in at least 1 point being scored. They give up a lot of those, and the reason why they rank so low in that compared to opponent effective field goal percentage, where they're just 113th, is they foul a ton. They are 305th in the country in fouls per possession. We saw that in the first two games against Charleston. Charleston had 29 free throws and Grand Canyon had 37 free throws. Now they are able to overcome that because they are just generally much better teams than Grand Canyon and Charleston. But this game is too close for them. If they give UNC 30 free throws, the Tar Heels are going to run away with this one. UNC actually does have a really good defense. So if you look at some more numbers here, UNC is 22nd defensive efficiency. Alabama's 250th. UNC also doesn't foul. They're 84th in fouls per game, 19th in opponent floor percentage. Defensively and fouls, defense and fouls, I guess fouls are part of defense, I think is going to be the difference maker. Now, Alabama could win this game if they just shoot the ball and shoot UNC out of the gym, because Alabama is overall one of the best shooting teams in the country. But their defense and, you know, their fouling issues are bad enough that if they don't have an A-plus shooting game, they're going to lose. Also, UNC could grab a ton of offensive rebounders in this game, 54th in the country in offensive rebounding. Alabama, 238th in defensive rebounding. So I do not have faith in Alabama in this one. I probably set this spread more like closer to 6. I will take the Tar Heels minus 4 against Alabama. Iowa State against Illinois. I will take Iowa State minus 1 against Illinois. I don't think Illinois is prepared to play a team like Iowa State. Iowa State and Houston specifically play a type of defense that is overwhelming. I actually think Iowa State even a little bit more because they force a shitload of turnovers. I've talked about it before. They force a turnover on 24.8% of their opponent's possessions. That's the most amongst all major conference teams by a pretty wide margin. Second defensive efficiency behind only Houston. And defense is where Illinois struggles. Illinois is only 142nd defensive efficiency. So Illinois is the better shooting team, I will say that. But not by enough for me to want to look past these defensive numbers. Iowa State still inside the top 100th in effective field goal percentage. And Illinois either needs to have an A-plus game plan or hope that Iowa State has an off shooting day in order to keep this one close. But Iowa State plays such a aggressive defensive style, just a smothering defensive style, that if they're not fully prepared for it, they're going to be shocked early in the game, and they're going to get down early, and I don't think they have the firepower to make a comeback. That's what I see happening in this game. I just don't think they are prepared to play against a defense like Iowa State. Daisy agrees with me. She is meowing in agreement. She is also a big Iowa State Cyclones fan. So I will say there is one advantage Illinois does have. If they do win this game, they're really good at offensive rebounding. Iowa State's not a great defensive rebounding team. That could be a little bit of an issue for Iowa State. But I am going to back the Cyclones here. -1, -110. And that's it for Thursday's games. Let's move on to Friday's games. I like Thursday slate better, I would say, of games. I'm much more looking forward to Thursday's games than Friday's games. Tell you one game I don't care about, Marquette and NC State. Don't care. Don't care about it. Oh, have to sneeze. Excuse me. Sorry. I'll take Marquette, though. -6.5.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Against NC State, I'm still not sold on NC State. I think they just had a great, you know, game against Texas Tech. It's just one of those games Texas Tech did not play well. NC State played very well. That happens all the time. And then they barely escaped against Oakland, which Oakland is fun. Sure, they were a fun story, but at the end of the day, barely escaping Oakland, needing double OT to beat them, or just single OT, sorry. Not a great look, in my opinion. NC State still, numbers aren't good. 159th in effective field goal percentage, 162nd defensive efficiency. Marquette's 15th and 61st in those two stats. NC State's been on a Cinderella run. There's certainly something to be said about a team that's just been playing good basketball lately. And to be fair, I actually don't think they played good against Oakland, but they certainly played good against Texas Tech and throughout the ACC tournament. But at the end of the day, now we have a week off. It's hard to carry that momentum, in my opinion, into the second weekend. And you just look at the numbers, and they're just outmatched by Marquette. NC State doesn't turn the ball over, which could help them in this game. If there's one case I would make for NC State, is that Marquette does get a lot of their points off forcing turnovers. NC State does a really good job of not forcing turnovers. But still, just the shooting numbers and the overall defensive numbers, too much, I think, for NC State to handle. I set the spread more at like 7.5, 8. So I'll take the Golden Eagles -6.5. Gonzaga against Purdue. I said it at the start of the tournament, and I still believe it, and I think I've been proven right through the first two games. Now, to be fair, it was McNeese State in the first round and Kansas in the second, a depleted and Kansas team whose coach said that he had already started thinking about next season a month ago. Not good. But still, Gonzaga's looked very impressive. I think this Gonzaga team is a lot better than people were giving them credit for heading into the tournament, so I will back them once again, Gonzaga +5.5. Gonzaga's numbers are better overall when you look at shooting numbers and defensive efficiency. 7th and 44th in effective field goal percentage and defensive efficiency. Purdue 13th and 56th. Now, to be fair, Gonzaga obviously had a much weaker schedule, so probably pretty close in terms of just straight up shooting and defensive numbers. Now, what I want to talk about Purdue, and I think anyone who has watched Purdue more the past couple of weeks has noticed this, is that Purdue's real strength is fouls. So listen to this. Purdue, they commit just 14.0 fouls per game. That's the 12th fewest in the country. But their opponents commit 20.6 fouls per game, which is the fifth highest mark in the country. So they have an average, I don't really know how to word this, but the opponents commit an average of 6.6 more fouls per game against them. Like if there's foul differential, Purdue's at like plus 6.6. I don't know why refs have a quick whistle when Zach Edey has the ball, but teams foul all over the place against them, and Purdue themselves don't commit many fouls themselves. So I don't even think Purdue's as good as like the record and their ranking indicates. I just think they're on the better end of fouls every single game. Now, Gonzaga's only 74th in personal fouls per game. They only commit 15.6, so they don't foul a ton. Not the best fouling team in the country, but they don't foul a ton. But that's enough for me to take the points with Gonzaga, because I actually do, believe it or not, think Gonzaga might be the better team. It all just comes down to how often the refs are going to blow fouls when someone's trying to guard Zach Edey. That's what it's going to come down to. But Gonzaga's interior defense has been very good this season. I think they can keep this game close, if not beat the Boilermakers. I really hope Purdue loses, because I'm just sick of watching a foul every time Zach Edey touches the ball. It's annoying. And Zach Edey's Canadian, so it's tough for me to say that, but I don't know why refs are so quick to the whistle when Zach Edey has the ball. So I'll take Gonzaga plus 5.5. Houston, I will take them minus 4 against Duke. This is a tough one. I went back and forth a little bit on this one. Heading into it, before I looked at the spread, I would have taken Duke most likely, because I expected the spread to be like more like 5, 5.5, closer to 6. With it at 4, I think I got to go with Houston, just because of Houston's defense, once again, like Iowa State. No other team in the country plays defense like Iowa State and Houston does. It's smothering, it's frustrating for other teams, and I think the type of teams that are going to implode are teams that play a little bit more individual basketball, and that's what I think Duke does, to be completely honest. I don't think Duke plays good team basketball. I think they play a lot of individual basketball, a lot of star basketball, and that type of basketball is going to beat up on a Vermont. It's going to beat up on a James Madison. It's not going to work against Houston's defense, and I think that's going to be too much. If Duke played better team basketball, like the team I'm seeing that could beat Houston is a team that plays much better team basketball. Maybe like a Gonzaga could beat Houston. Maybe Purdue. Purdue gets 100 fouls called against Houston. Maybe even like a Tennessee I could see. On the other side of that, I could certainly see UConn beating Houston. I think that game would be a pick'em. Duke, I don't see it. Duke, I think, plays too much hero ball, too individual ball, and while a lot of their stats actually match up well with Houston, if you just look at it from a metric standpoint, because Duke does shoot the ball better than Houston. They do play pretty good defense. They do actually create quite a few extra scoring chances, but this is why sometimes I think I'm obviously a big metrics guy, big stats guy, but I think you do got to watch the games and obviously take that into consideration as well. And I was at the Barclays Center watching Duke. I've watched more Duke in this tournament and in the ACC tournament than I had really all season. I hadn't watched Duke much during the regular season, but to me, they play much more of an individualistic style of basketball, and I don't think that's going to work against Houston's defense. So I will lay the 4 points with the Cougs against the Blue Devils. And then finally, the last game on the slate. If you listened to my podcast last week, you should know which way I'm going with this one. I will take Tennessee minus 2.5 against Creighton. I hate Creighton. It bugs me that they continue to win, because I've gone on shows, my show, other radio shows, other podcasts, talking about how Creighton's not going to go deep in the tournament, and then they fucking won first two games. And I thought Oregon actually deserved to win that first game, but Oregon just got exhausted by the second overtime. So congratulations, Creighton. You beat Akron, and then you beat a number 11 Oregon team in double overtime. I'm not falling for your shit. I think this is a nightmare matchup for Creighton because, number one, Tennessee is a great perimeter defense, 29th in opponent 3-point field goal percentage, and they're also 22nd in extra scoring chances, plus 4.3. Creighton 339th at minus 4.3. So Tennessee, if both teams have an average game in terms of creating extra scoring chances, Tennessee should have, around 8.6 more scoring chances than Creighton. That's going to be the difference maker in a game where the spread is 2.5. Plus Tennessee's perimeter defense, plus, I was going to say their offense, but their offense didn't look great against Texas, to be honest. It was good enough, I'm going to hope that game against Texas was a little bit of an outlier game for them. Because, if they shoot that bad against Creighton, it's not going to matter. But if they can have, a decent shooting game, I think they run away with this one a bit against Creighton. I think Creighton's offense might get overwhelmed by Tennessee's defense. Tennessee is kind of like their defense is, they aren't as smothering as Houston and Iowa State. But if there was like a third defense that's, as close to Iowa State and Houston in this tournament, it's got to be Tennessee's. So there you go, Tennessee minus 2.5. So there you go, those are my 8 picks for the Sweet 16. Just to recap, I got Clemson plus 7.5, UConn minus 11, UNC minus 4, Iowa State minus 1, Marquette minus 6.5, Gonzaga plus 5.5, Houston minus 4, and Tennessee minus 2.5. Let's just quickly take a look at the futures market here. I will minimize myself for the video version of this podcast here. I just have DraftKings open. It's just a sports book I thought of. So I'm like, if I say a team, there are probably better odds out there. I think the team to bet on is Iowa State. They're 20-1 at DraftKings. I think I bet them on them at BetMGM. And I think BetMGM might have better odds. I'm now just opening BetMGM just to see. 20-1. So it might have just been the same price. I thought maybe I got him at 22-1, but it might have just been 20-1. Iowa State obviously has a couple of really tough matchups. Even though they're a 1-point favorite to Illinois, I think they should be a little bit of a bigger favorite. If they get by them, they're going to take on UConn, which makes Iowa State tough. But if Iowa State can get by Illinois and UConn, I mean, obviously, if they get by UConn, they're going to be in a great spot. It's just that defense, man. They're so fun to watch. Their defense is just forces so many turnovers. Their offense might let them down at some point, but we're talking about 20-1. I'd much rather take Iowa State than Marquette. I'd much rather take Iowa State against UNC. I think 21 in terms of a bang for your buck, I think Iowa State's the best bet on the board right now. Gonzaga, I think, would be another worth a sprinkle. 25-1. Gonzaga, and I bet them pre-tournament as well. Gonzaga, a lot better than people think. And I think they have great matchups in front of them. I think they can beat Purdue as the number one seed. And I think they can make the Final Four, which would be who they play. Gonzaga would play Creighton, the winner of Creighton and Tennessee, right? I think they can beat them. They're just so well-rounded. They don't have the star players that they've had in the past, but I think the path is certainly open for Gonzaga to go on a run. Now, I'm not saying they should be favored, obviously, but if you're looking for value, I think the value lies in Iowa State and Gonzaga. I think Duke plays too much of individual basketball to get there at 22-1. I obviously don't like Creighton for reasons I've talked about. I don't like Alabama because of their defense. I don't like Illinois because of their defense. I hate San Diego State. Don't like NC State. They're just not a good basketball team. I mean, if you want to complete off-the-board long shot, Clemson at 80-1, and then maybe cash out if they make the Final Four, or if you go to reach the final. Regional winner. Clemson to win the West at 10-1. I don't hate that at all. I might bet that myself. Because I think they can upset Arizona. And then they can absolutely beat UNC or Alabama. At 10-1. That's a bet I've just decided I'm going to place. I'm going to be betting. Now, once again, when I say something like 10-1, like, I'm not saying that it's definitely going to happen. I'm not saying they should be favored, but 10-1 to win these next two games. I think Clemson might surprise some people. I'm going to bet Clemson 10-1 to win the West region. I've already bet Iowa State heading into the Sweet 16. I bet Gonzaga pre-tournament. Clemson 80-1 to win the whole thing. I don't love that just because, I mean, they're going to have to take on an Iowa State or a UConn, in my opinion. I mean, or maybe even an Illinois if something crazy happens. I mean, if they play Illinois, I'd probably actually like Clemson in that matchup. But Iowa State and UConn are terrible matchups for them. So I don't think I'd bet Clemson 80-1 to win the whole thing. But for them to come out of the region at 10-1, I like that. UConn at plus 210. I wish I would have bet UConn before the tournament started, but I was so high on Auburn So no, I'm not going to bet on UConn, especially with a potential matchup against Iowa State in their future. No. If you want to do it, I wouldn't blame you. Houston, their shooting concerns me at some point, a bad shooting game, and they might get toast. Purdue, I talked about them. I actually don't even think they're that good. They just do a great job of fouling, not fouling, and forcing fouls. Tennessee at 13-1 is another option if you want someone a little bit further up the odds boards. I like Tennessee. They got to bring their offense, though. They did not bring their offense against Texas, which concerns me, because if they have another shooting game like they did against Texas, they're toast. So right now, if you say, Ian, what bet should I place right now in March Madness? I would say Iowa State 20-1 to win the national championship. I would say Clemson 10-1 to win the West region. And toss on Gonzaga to win the Midwest at plus 450. Once again, another team I don't necessarily trust to win the whole thing, but out of Purdue, Tennessee, Creighton, and Gonzaga, I think Gonzaga is the least flawed team of those four. So I like Gonzaga to win the West, or sorry, the Midwest at plus 450. So Clemson to win the West, 10-1. Gonzaga to win the Midwest at plus 450. Iowa State to win it all. You could also go Iowa State to win the East at plus 425. I'm not going to do that. And to win the South, I think it's probably going to be Houston. Maybe I wouldn't take Duke. So there you go. Let's finish this off by taking a quick look at my bracket, because it's bad. Now, I did tinker. I did move Texas Tech out of my bracket, but I picked Auburn to win it all. I stuck with them as my pick to win the NCAA tournament, so my bracket busted when they lost. If they didn't lose, I'd actually probably be in a pretty good spot. My Elite Eight, Sweet 16, I had UConn against Auburn, so obviously Auburn's out. I had BYU making the Sweet 16. UNC Alabama I had correct. Arizona, I had Baylor making the Sweet 16. Tennessee, Creighton, I had South Carolina making the Sweet 16. I had Kentucky against Colorado, where NC State and Marquette are playing. So that didn't win. I had James Madison beating Duke originally. So my bracket's not great. But if Auburn was still alive, it'd actually be pretty good, because I still have Arizona, Houston, and Tennessee as my other final four teams. But if you lose your winner, you're toast. And I lost my winner in the first round. And I even said, I bet Yale to cover, because I was like, those fucking goddamn Ivy League teams always either give a team a scare in the first round or win, like Princeton did last year. They got me. They got me. All right, there you go. That is the Sweet 16 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. I will do my picks. Hopefully, I'm almost positive in podcast version Saturday morning for the Elite Eight. And then I'll be back next week to talk Final Four. Keep an eye out for the majors, one and done for golf, the pool that I'm going to be opening later this week, either tomorrow or Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday. Keep probably Thursday. Keep an eye out for that. And yeah, that's all I got. Go for it. Go Rams. Gambler bless. Best of luck with all your picks this week. And I'll talk to you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.